الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة البقرة اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاه ان الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله اموات بل احياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الاموال والانفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين اذا اصابتهم مصيبه قالوا انا لله وانا اليه راجعون اولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمه واولئك هم المهتدون وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اول سوره العنكبوت الف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة البقرة أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب وقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة آل عمران أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم ويعلم الصابرين وقال جل وعلا كما ورد في سورة التوبة أم حسبتم أن تتركوا ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم ولم يتخذوا من دون الله ولا رسوله ولا المؤمنين وليجة والله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصابرين اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصابرين اللهم افرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمين امين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hoping and praying for His help, we begin with the fifth part of our course, selected course of study of the Quran, which we are discussing in these sessions. We must be remembering, I told you in the very beginning, that this course of study has six parts. In the first part, we have four lessons, which are very comprehensive. The first lesson, Suratul Asr, which gives us four prerequisites, four conditions for salvation, four essential, inevitable, unavoidable conditions of salvation according to the Quran. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ By the token of time, verily, all human beings are doomed except those who had the faith. Then they performed good deeds. Then they exhorted each other to whatever is just and right. And true. And then they exhorted each other to have patience, have forbearance and steadfastness. I quote it as you may be remembering the saying of Imam Razi rahimahullah. اعلم ان هذا الايه فيها وعيد شديد. You should know that in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very big, very severe warning. بِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى حَكَمَ بِالْخِسَارِ عَلَىٰ جَمِعِ النَّاسِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared doom for the whole of humanity. إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ آتِيًا بِهَذِهِ الْأَشْيَارِ أَرْبَعَةِ. Except for those who fulfill these four conditions. وَهِيَا الايمان والعمل الصالح والتواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر. And those four conditions are faith, real faith, iman, then good deeds, then exhorting each other to good deeds, to whatever is correct, whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever is true, and then exhorting each other for patience and forbearance and steadfastness. وَدَلَّ ذَلِكَ. Imam Razi continues to say, وَدَلَّ ذَلِكَ. And this implies, this shows, this tells, أَنَّ النَّجَاةَ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِمَجْمُوعِ هَذِهِ الْأَشْيَاءِ. That salvation is conditioned with all these four conditions. None of them can be omitted. So we had three more lessons in which, just like Surah Al-Asr, all these four conditions are mentioned. Ayat al-Birr, that is ayah number 177 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then the second section of Surah Al-Luqman. Then ayat 30 to 36 of Surah Al-Hamim as-Sajdah. Then from the second to the fifth, these parts, second, third, fourth, fifth. In these parts of this selected course of study, in the second, we discuss some places, some surahs regarding iman, discussions on iman. What is iman? What are the articles of iman? How iman can be had? What's the synthesis of iman? What are the constituent parts of iman? How can they be synthesized? That was the subject of our second part. Third part discussed, and it related to different levels of good deeds, amal salih. The good deed at personal level, individual level. The good deed at the family level. The good deeds at the social level. What are the social evils which must be eradicated from the Muslim society? What's the concept of social values which must be prohibited in Islamic society? Then the amal salih at the state level. What an Islamic state is? What are the essential constituents of Islamic state? How the solidarity of Muslim Ummah can be maintained? That was our third part. In the fourth part now we studied those passages of the Quran in the fourth part, that related to jihad fi sabilillah. Because in ayah number 15 of Surah Al-Hujurat we had that there can be no iman without jihad. The true mu'mins are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, then doubt not, and then make jihad for the cause of Allah and spend in it all their worldly belongings and their bodily resources. Only such people are true if they claim to be mu'mins. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Now in the fourth part we had, first of all, the last section of Surah Al-Hajj. It concerns with jihad, details jihad. جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. And what's the function of jihad? What's the goal of jihad? لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Then we study Surah Al-Saff, which I told you is the most comprehensive surah of the Quran on the subject of jihad fi sabilillah and qital fi sabilillah. Then the third lesson was Surah Al-Jum'ah. We have just concluded it because it gives the basic methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he got and gathered those people who made jihad for the cause of Allah, how he trained those people who sacrificed everything they had, even their lives, for the cause of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. This is the subject of Surah Al-Jum'ah, which we have just concluded. Now the fourth lesson included in this fifth part, in the fourth part of this selected course of study, is Surah Al-Munafiqun. But I am changing the sequence, and we are starting the fifth part of our selected course of study. Now, اینڈ سورۃ المنافقون وی شیل ڈسکس ان شاء اللہ آفٹر وی ہیو اسٹڈیڈ سورۃ العنکبوت. ناؤ واٹ از دی سبجیکٹ آف دس؟ دی فورتھ کنڈیشن آف سلویشن از صبر. واٹ از صبر؟ صبر, پیشنس, forbearance, steadfastness. And there are many types of sabr. Sabr ala ta'a. You need sabr to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless you have sabr, you can't obey. Because at many times, the commandment of Allah demands something which is painful to our body. On a very cold morning, you have to get up at the proper time to offer your fajr prayer, to get out of the house, to go to the mosque. And there are countries, Muslim countries mostly, don't have the amenities. No air conditioning and no central heating. Getting up at that time and then praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making wudu with merry ice cold water, all this needs sabr. Fasting. And fasting can be in the months of June and July also. Weather is very hot, very dry. Then the days are very long. And then there are people who are laborers, who have to work hard to earn their livelihood. But they have to do fasting. It's imperative. It's a farz. So actually, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need a lot of sabr. Then the second type of sabr, sabr anil ma'asiyah. Allah has forbidden it. Allah has declared it to be haram. And your nafs, your baser self, your id or libido, your animal instincts demand it. There's a desire. You may say, the desire of the baser self. The lusts and desires coming from the lower aspect of our personality. Now you need sabr to restrain from it, to refrain from it, to not to go towards something which is haram. And this is sabr. Sabr alil, alis alil ma'asiyah. Then sabr alal bala. There can be difficult conditions. Maybe some disease comes to you. And if you are mourning and groaning and complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, this is not the way of a mu'min. You have to take the sabr. Whatever comes to you. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. We studied it. You know, in Surah At-Taghabun, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. So these are the three types of sabr. The fourth and the most important, and that actually is going to be the subject of our this fifth part of the selected course of study. That is sabr that a mu'min is required to have if he is to wage jihad for the cause of Allah. If he has to fulfill the mission that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given him. Because this ummah has been charged with a very high mission. The mission that the prophets and the messengers of Allah had to fulfill after the institution of prophethood and messengerhood of Allah coming to an end in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that mission has been given to the ummah for all times to come. Now you have to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity at large. Now you have to make jihad, make struggle for the cause of Allah, to make the deen of Allah supreme. And for that, you will have to risk your life. Because there is no place on the surface of the earth where there is no system existing before. Some system is there. Whether it is capitalism, or it is monarchy, or it is dictatorship, or it is feudalism, or so on. Or it is secular democracy. What is secular democracy? Shirk and kufr. Because secular democracy, what does it mean? That actually sovereignty belongs to the people. It is shirk, it is kufr. Sovereignty belongs to him and him alone. So everywhere there is some system existing. And whatever the system, the political, social, economic system that is there in any part of the world, any country, any region, with that is associated vested interest. There are people who have vested interest, who have priorities, who have the amenities of life there. They have preferences, privileges, the privileged sections of the society, and their privileges are actually attached to the system. Their vested interest is attached to the system. When you want to change the system, there is a threat to their privileges and their interests.
they are bound to resist. They will resist to their teeth, and then there has going to be in places and occasions when you will be called to come in the battlefield and be ready to lay down your life. But this sabr actually is the subject of this fifth section of this selected course of study. And we are beginning it now with our study of these ayat. The background of these ayat is, these ayat appear in the second part of the Quran and the beginning of the 19th section of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now the second part, mostly in all the Musahif, in all the copies of the Quran, starts with فَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مَا وَاللَّهُ مَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And then the whole two sections, they discuss the issue of the changing of the direction of the Qibla from Jerusalem to Mecca. And now actually, as I told you at that time when we were discussing this ayah, because this ayah is just like that ayah which appears in the end of Surah Al-Hajj. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Now this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah tells that you have been made an ummah. Why? If you found an organization, if you found a party, if you organized a party, if you found even an association, you must first of all have what are the aims and objects of that association. What for are we founding this organization or party? The aims and of the articles of association and the memorandum of that party. Even if you want to make a company, start a company for business, there are the memorandum and the articles of association. These are the rules which will be governing this business. So actually, what for has this great ummah? The members of this ummah are more than 1 billion today. What for? What's the goal? What's the aim? وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. For this very purpose we have made you an ummah, so that you become witnesses unto the whole of humanity. And you will have to, and you will call to, testify on the Day of Judgment, that, O Allah, the deen, the message that came to us through your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we convey to the whole of humanity. Just as our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is testifying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto you in this world through his da'wah, through his calling to you towards the path of Islam, towards, you know, practicing Islam and showing to you a model of Islam. And he will be called to testify against you on the Day of Judgment that, O Allah, your deen, your message which came to me, I have communicated it to them. Now they are responsible. Now to fulfill this mission of Shahada al-Nas, there are hardships. You have to go through hardships. You have to pass through tests and tribulations. You may have to sacrifice your lives. And that is actually the test of your iman, whether you really have iman or not. And that sabr which is needed, if you have to fulfill your mission, then actually you will be successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, after that discussion of two sections of Surah Al-Baqarah about the changing of the direction of the Qibla, and in that the ayah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Then the 19th section is beginning with these ayat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. O Muslims, O you who profess to believe, who claim to believe in Allah and His Messenger and His Book and Resurrection and the Day of Judgment and the life of hereafter and the Jannah and Jahannam, the hell and the heaven and paradise, who claim to believe in these things, istainu bis-sabr was-salah. Get support, have help from two things. Get sabr, patience, forbearance, fortitude, and salah, the prayer. But against what? This help is needed for what? For what purpose? This has been given already. You have to be witnesses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. You have to call people to the path of Allah. You have to convey them the message, the knowledge, the wisdom of Quran. You have to try to establish the deen of Allah so that you can show to humanity at large, to the whole mankind, come and see, this is the deen of Allah. This is Islamic society. This is Islamic brotherhood. This is Islamic equality. This is Islamic fraternity. This is Islamic freedom. This is the Islamic justice. You show to them. This is the society which has been made free from crime. This is the society in which there is justice, there is fair play, there is equitable distribution of wealth. Yet large, a model of Islam, real Islam, actual Islam, total Islam, Deenullah. You have not done your duty of being witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, testifying in favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not be able to stand up before your Lord, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, in the court of hereafter. And you will not be able to say, oh Allah, we did our job. We conveyed to them, the humanity at large, your message. And we produced before their eyes a model also. We could show them, this is the deen of Allah. If you are not able to say so, then you will not have done your job. You will not be declared successful. For this cause, because there are going to be hardships, you must get help. But your help will come from two sources. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabr. This is intrinsic thing, something within you. You have to have patience, forbearance, fortitude, be steadfast, bear anything which comes to you. Just you remember, might be remembering the ayah included in the advices of Hazrat Luqman. Ya bunayya aqimis salah wa amur bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar wasbir ala ma asaba. Oh my little dear son, establish the regular prayers, then you command to people whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is correct, and forbid them from whatever is wrong, whatever is unjust, and then have patience and bear with forbearance and patience, whatever comes to you. Because truth is bitter. If you tell the truth in the face of a person, he will not like it. Al-haqqu murrun. Truth is bitter. There will be resentment. And the resentment can take any shape. There can be persecution. You might be beaten. You might be thrown in jail. You might be killed even because you are saying the truth. Just remember, maybe I have mentioned this in the discussions about Iman, what happened to Socrates? His society offered him two alternatives. Whatever you are preaching, O Socrates, it is against our norms of this society. We believe in something else. You are preaching something else. And you are taking our youth astray. Now only two options are before you. Either you keep quiet, keep your mouth shut. You may believe whatever you like to believe, but you can't preach it. You can't convey it to others. Or if you can't keep quiet, then this is the cup of poison. You have to take it here and now. And the choice that he chose was, okay, he took the cup of poison, put an end to his life. I can't keep quiet. Whatever I think is right, and I shouldn't be able to say so. Whatever I think is unjust, I shouldn't be able to protest against it. Then I don't want to live at all. Life becomes meaningless for such a person. If he is a man of character in the real sense of the word, what to live for then? Like animals? Like human vegetables? No, no. A human being, a man of character, cannot live without tawasi bil haq and tawasi bil sabr. He has to say whatever is correct. He has to announce or proclaim openly, loudly, this is wrong, this is correct. And he has to forbid others from something wrong. And he has to ordain others for whatever is right. So this is actually, this is the character, the tests of character. They will come to you. So that is the background. You must get the support from intrinsic sabr. Develop your willpower. You develop your resistance within yourself to be able to bear hunger, to be able to bear some physical persecution, something which is giving pain to you. You may be tortured. You may be tortured in torturing cells. All these things happen. In all these societies, these things are going on and happening. So first of all, you should have within you the fortitude, the forbearance, the patience, the steadfastness. And number two, Allah, call Allah. Have a contact with Allah. This contact of your soul with Allah, the meaning for that contact is salah. Establish salah. Istainu bis sabri was salah. You must now, for this very big mission that has been laid on your shoulders, the burden of that mission which has come to your shoulders, you will be able to fulfill these responsibilities only if you get strength from sabr and salah, from prayer. Keep on praying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will give you the courage. He will sustain you. He will support you. There's an ayah in the Quran addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, Wasbir, وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Oh Muhammad, have patience. Bear it with forbearance. And you can only have sabr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nearer you are to Allah, the more forbearance and fortitude will be there in your body. The more you remember Allah, the more He will give you support and strength to bear all the tests and tribulations and pass through all hardships. Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu istainu bis sabri was salah, inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. Verily, indeed, Allah is with the people who have forbearance, patience, steadfastness, fortitude. Even those people, Allah loves them and Allah helps them. If you are a coward, if you are weak of will, you want to do something, you can't do it. You want to be on the straight path, but you can't bear the hardships that it entails. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any connection with you. He doesn't like you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسَنِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Here it is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. What is this ma'a? That Allah's help, Allah's support, it comes to those who show forbearance. If you show some patience, then Allah will help you also. Again, let me quote an ayah. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help Allah, Allah will also help you. And He will make your feet firm. You will be firm in your stand. And you will be firm bearing all the hardships and the difficulties and the opposition and the resistance that comes your way. But if you are helping Allah, what is helping Allah? You are devoting yourself, your life, your all belonging to the cause of Allah, to establish His deen, to establish His kingdom on earth. According to the wording of the Bible, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If you do, and if you are working for that cause, you are helping Allah. In tansurullah, yansurkum, wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. Ya ayyuha allazeena aamanu istainu bis sabri was salah, inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. Wa la taqulu liman yuqtalu fi sabilillahi amwat. And never call those people who are killed in the way of Allah, who are martyred in the way of Allah. As I told you in some previous lecture, in the whole of Quran, for being killed in the way of Allah, never the lafz of shahada has been used. Except only there is a possibility at one place. Only one place in Surah Al-Imran. Perhaps it's ayah number 140, perhaps. I don't remember the exact number of that ayah. يَتَّخِرَ مِنْكُمْ shuhada. That is the only one ayah of the Quran where it is possible to interpret that shahada as being killed by the enemies of Allah in the way of Allah. Otherwise, everywhere you'll find that the same word, قُتْقَتْلِ. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ. Don't call them who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are dead. They are not dead, بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ. They are living. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. But you can't have the feeling. You can't have the consciousness. You can't know that they are living. They are living in another world. As a matter of fact, the concept of life according to Quran and Islam is that death is actually not an end of life. It's only a change of the condition of life. From one form of life to another life. This is hayat al-dunya. The life of this world. As soon as you die, you enter the hayatul barzakh. That is also a life. in the grave also, in that barzakh intervening period also, there is going to be reflection of your end after the day of judgment. If you are to go to the paradise, you will have a reflection of that. Coming events cast their shadows before, even in this intervening period. If someone is going to the hell, because he knows what he has done, the reflection of the things to come will start coming in his grave. Then the third life is actually the life of the hereafter, when after resurrection, bodily resurrection, that is to die. So actually it's life all the way. But change of life from one form to other. But especially for shuhada, it has been specified in the Quran that straight off they go to Jannah. Directly. Without any intervening period. Not only in grave. In grave every moment, every pious moment, every righteous moment is having a reflection of Jannah. Is having a smell of Jannah. But the shuhada, people who are killed in the way of Allah, they go straight to Jannah. There's no intervening period whatsoever. That is why actually we find in Surah Yasin, the person who testified and believed in the messengers of Allah that came to that nation, that community, and the community killed him straight off. Allah Ta'ala made him enter Jannah directly. قِيلْ أَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ It was said immediately, enter Jannah. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ And he said, how better it would be that my nation could know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. My wife might be weeping. Then my husband has been martyred. My children might be weeping. Our father is gone. We have become orphans. My relatives might grieve at my death. But I know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ So those people who are killed in the way of Allah, they are never dead, and they don't have to wait to enter Jannah till the day of judgment. They go directly to Jannah. That is why the Prophet said about Hazrat Ja'far Sayyar رضي الله تعالى عنه, when he was martyred, he was killed in the battle of Mota. The Prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him two wings, and he is actually flying like a bird in the Jannah. On the trees of the Jannah. So this is the special. And why it is being said? You must be ready to risk your life. And don't never think that you will be lost. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ Never think, never say, never call those who have been killed in the way of Allah. While making jihad for the cause of Allah. While going to war for the cause of Allah. Making qital fi سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Never call them dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَا كِلَّا تَشْعُرُونَ The same ayah appears in Surah Ali Imran also. Because these two surahs are a pair, sisters. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلَقُوا بِهِمْ Don't never think about it that whosoever has been killed in the way of Allah is dead. No. They are living. They are alive. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ Now this is a clear warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is foretelling the Muslims. And this is the beginning of the period of wars which are to come now. Because this is the beginning of the Madani period of the Seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Baqarah was revealed to him just after Hijrah. And a short before Ghazwa Badr. All the ayat which were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during this period, about 17 months, they are either in Suratul Baqarah or a very small surah, Suratul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other name of that surah is Suratul Qitat. These are the two surahs which were revealed. And not revealed in one piece. Suratul Muhammad was revealed in one piece. Time shows that it came at once. Full surah, it's a small surah, not a very big surah. But you know, this is the biggest surah of the Quran. So ayat of this surah, they were revealed bit by bit, but they were added together, edited by the order of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were made into one surah. So this is the beginning of that period of the revolutionary process of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we call the armed conflict. Now there's going to be armed conflict. Now you Muslims will be required to go to war even. and to risk your life. And with that, there will be other tests also. You have to pass these tests. You must think twice before you say that you are a Muslim. As I quoted to you many a time, the Persian couplet of Allama Iqbal, Chumi goyam musalmanam bilardam, ke danam muskilate la irada. When I say I am a Muslim, I tremble. Because I know how difficult it is to be a real Muslim, a practicing Muslim. So that is the warning which has come here. Lest it should be said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us before time that these things will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ And we shall definitely, without any doubt, this style in the Arabic language, before the fi'lul muzari, lam maftuh, la, and noon mushaddad, af'alo, I will do this. La fa'alanna, I will definitely do it. There is no mode of emphasis greater than this mode in Arabic language. Not available. With all the emphasis at my command, I am telling you, I will definitely test you. This is the interpretation. Listen from me with open ears. We shall test you. We shall put you to the hardest test. This is the foretelling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lest you should say that Allah didn't tell us beforehand that these things are to come. That is why Ghazwatul Ahzab occurred. And there were the worst conditions for the Muslims. The worst day for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Hijrah was the day of Taif. Personally, the worst day for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Hijrah was the day of Uhud. But collectively for the Muslim Ummah, the worst period of testing was the days of Ghazwatul Ahzab. And that time the munafiqun, they said with clear words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah and His Prophet, they deceived us. They told us that you will get the empires of Persia and Rome and the treasures of the Iranian and Roman treasures will come under your feet. And what it has come to us? You can't go even out for the daily need that a person has to evacuate. We can't go out. We are surrounded from all sides. 12,000 strong army was surrounding that small city of Madinah at that time. مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا Allah and His Messenger both made with us false promises. They deceived us. But the moments, what did they say? هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ This is what Allah and His Messenger promised to us. And they made a very correct promise, true promise. And that was this promise. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالْثَمَرَاتِ We shall definitely, without any doubt, test you. What is this bala yablu? Ba lam bao. Bala yablu. To test someone. Ibtila yabtali. To test someone. Abla yubli. Three forms it can take. Bala yablu. In salati mujarrad. Abla yubli. From Bab Ifal. Ibtila Yabtali from Bab Isti'al. This is Arabic grammar. But meanings are the same. To test. To see whether somebody is true to his word or not. That is Bala Yablu. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ Then we shall definitely, without any doubt, test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ There will be fear. You will feel that it's the end. And it happened actually. At the time of Ghazwatul Ahzab, people said, this is the end. This is the end of the game. 12,000 strong army has laid siege to Medina. And then the tribe of Banu Qurayza is there, ready to stab in our back. So actually we have no, la ya ahla yasram la maqama lakum al-yawm. Now we have no standing. No land before under our feet to stand. So actually this is the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them with. The total fear. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ Hunger. You'll have to go hungry. This happened many a time. In Medina, before this Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the victory of Khaybar, there was very strict and poverty especially for the Muhajirin. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wife went days and days together without any food whatsoever. This was happening. Hunger. But bishay min al-khawf wal-joo' wa naqsi min al-amwal wal-anfus. And the loss of property and wealth and life. Naqsi min al-amwal. Loss of the wealth and property. And wal-anfus. And life. You will have to lay down your life. You will be required to lay down your life, to sacrifice your life, your property, your wealth. What samarat, and also the fruits. What does it mean? It can have two meanings. Samar of a man is his progeny, his sons and daughters. Every tree has samar, the fruit. In the same way, for man, his sons, his daughters are the fruit. And secondly, many a time it happened, the harvest is ready. There was very much scarcity of dates at the time of the battle of Tabuk. Scarcity. Cut. And then now the harvest was ready. The dates were ready to be plucked. And now there came the order. Go to Tabuk. Go out to meet the Roman army. So this was the biggest test put to the Muslim Ummah. All the Muslims. Now, because if women left alone here, they won't be able to take the pluck the fruit of dates from the trees. It's a hard job. It will be destroyed. The whole harvest will be destroyed. But order is order. There's not to reason high, there's but to do it. When the order comes in an army, you have to. The discipline is that you have to obey the order. For naqsim al-abbari wa anfusim al-samarat. Loss of lives, loss of property, loss of fruit and harvest, loss of your sons and daughters and your progeny. وَبَشَّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But O Messenger of Allah, O Muhammad, give glad tidings, glad news to those who have patience. Whosoever can have patience and forbearance and can show steadfastness, for them is bashara, for them is the glad tidings. For them is the good news. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. Each act of theirs, each deed of theirs, each sacrifice of theirs, each hardship that they have borne, all will be rewarded in full. وَبَشَّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Who are those sabreen? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those whom whenever there is some calamity falls, there is some calamity, there is some distress, there is something which is painful for them, there is something which is torturing for them. Musibah, it covers all these things. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, we belong to Allah. We are actually bondsmen to Allah. We belong to Allah. This lam here is lam al-tamlik. We belong to Allah. He owns us. He is our owner. He is our master. Whatever is coming from him, we take it with patience, forbearance. We have no complaints. We have nothing to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not have done this. So, we are razi, be razaho. We are fully pleased with his pleasure. If he is pleased in testing us like this, well, we are ready. We are also pleased. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allah became pleased with them and they remained pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This maqam-e-raza, as I discussed in detail in Surah At-Taghabun, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. Whosoever has real faith, real iman in Allah, Allah guides his heart to what? To be contented, to be pleased with whatever Allah ta'ala has decreed for me. Because whatever he has decreed, there must be some good for me. Although it appears to me, for the time being, presently painful. It appears to me that it is not really good for me. But Allah knows better. Because we shall read, inshallah, the ayah. Asa an takrahu shayyan wa huwa khairun lakum. There is the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. Kutiba alaykum al-qital wa huwa kurhun lakum. O Muslim, now, this going to war for the cause of Allah has been made mandatory for you. And you don't like it. وَهُوَ كُلْهُ لَكُمْ وَعَسَانْ لَكْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ.
You must understand, it's just possible that you might dislike anything, but in the end it must be good for you. It can be good for you. وَعَسَانْ تُحِبُّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And in the same way it is just possible. You may like something, you may love something, but that thing might be injurious to you, harmful for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Only Allah knows, you don't know. You see the external side and the immediate effects of any event. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is coming behind it. You know, if a child has been injected a medicine, then he will cry. But anybody, any person who has the understanding, he knows that the doctor has given him a small pain. Why? For his benefit. To relieve him of the disease. Even if a surgeon is amputating the arm of a person, it is for his good. Because it has become gangrenous. And now there is a threat to the whole body. To save the rest of the body at the cost of this arm is actually doing good to this person, not bad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if he sends something which is not pleasant for you, you must have the faith and iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it for my good. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Oh Allah, in your hands it is all khair, all good. You can't do anything which is shar. You are all khair, all good. As-salam. You are as-salam. You know, actually, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mumin, As-Salam, Al-Muhaymin, these are some of the names which appear in Surah Al-Hashr. Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mumin, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. He is Mumin, he is the giver of the peace. He is Muhaymin, he protects you, he guards you. He is As-Salam, he is all peace. So actually, Allah Ta'ala, whatever He decrees, is definitely beneficial for me. Although it might appear at this time, presently it might appear to be unpleasant and injurious. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, we are from Allah, we belong to Allah. And to Allah we shall return. We have to go to Him. He will reward us. If we show patience, forbearance, if we are sacrificing, if we are facing hardship, if we are spending our beloved things for the cause of Allah, if a mother is sending 7 of his sons to be martyred in the day of Allah, just imagine. But she knows it is good for her, it is good for her son. Khansa al-Arab, who was one of the biggest poets of Arab, 7 of her sons to the battlefield, all battered. But is it a loss? Was it a loss to her? No. Neither to her nor to the sons. Whosoever was martyred, still at Khulil Jannah. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَ لِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. It was just possible if they were living, they might have to face hardship. They might be facing difficulties in this world. All their difficulties come to an end instantaneously when they are killed in the way of Allah. So actually it is not something bad for them, it is good for them. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. They are the people on whom the blessings of Allah come. عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep coming on them, keep descending on them. I narrated a hadith that this is something very big which we are discussing at this time. To be martyred for the cause of Allah. To be killed in the way of Allah. This is such a big thing that the Prophet himself longed for it. I have told you that hadith. لَوَلِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ. I very much long and desire and love and like that I should be killed in the way of Allah. Then I should be resurrected. Then for the second time, another time I should have the taste of being killed in the cause of Allah. Then I should be for the third time resurrected. And then I should have again the taste of being killed in the way of Allah. That was the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This desire of the Prophet couldn't be exceeded. Why? He was Allah Rasul. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ الْأَغْلِبَنَّ عَنَا وَرُسُلِي. It's the law of Allah. It's the permanent law of Allah. No Rasul of Allah can be killed. Anbiya could be killed. Only prophets.
not Rasul, not Messenger. Now this is a different issue. I didn't discuss it in any details in any of the lectures. It's a very important issue regarding the wisdom of the Quran. What's the difference between Nabi and Rasul? So then, but here you must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدَبَ اللَّهُ الْأَغْلِبَنَّ عَنَا بَرَسُولِ Myself and my messengers will triumph. That is my final decision. I have declared it. وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ Our law has already been passed, already been declared about the Rusul, that we and our Rusul, they will be helped. The Rusul, you know, the messengers of Allah will get the help when they are threatened by their enemies. And our armies will triumph. So actually these are two places where it has been specified in the Quran in clear words that no messenger of Allah can be killed. And that is why Hazrat Masih couldn't be crucified. He was Rasul, not Nabi. Hazrat Yahya was only Nabi. Nabiyyam min as-salihin. In Surah Al-Imran, there is the mention of Hazrat Yahya, then Hazrat Masih. About Hazrat Yahya, the last words are, Nabiyyam min as-salihin. He was Nabi, but not Rasul. About Hazrat Masih, Rasulan ila Bani Israel. He was Rasul towards Bani Israel. He couldn't be killed. He couldn't be crucified. Anyhow, قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون On them keep descending the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy. And these are the people who will have the final guidance. What does it mean? Who will reach their final goal. مهتدون اهتدى هدى يهدي اهتدى يهتدي To have the guidance. And guidance, I told you when we were discussing Surah Al-Fatiha, that it has different stages. To tell something to somebody, some right thing, some giving him the direction, it is also hada yahdi. To take him with you and to take him to his goal, this is the final the stage of hada yahdi, of guidance. That is why those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make enter the Jannah, the paradise, that they will be chanting the praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi allazi hadana lihaza wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praise be to Allah who has taken us to this place, who has guided us and who has brought us to this place. He actually brought us to this place and we couldn't have the guidance and we couldn't reach here this Jannah unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us the guidance. So this is أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ This is the first lesson of our this fifth part of this selected course of study. But I narrated and recited a few ayat more also. I thought that we can proceed at least to with some of them. Let us begin. We have 5 minutes at our disposal. The first three ayat of Surah Al-Ankabut. This Surah Al-Mubarakah was revealed in the middle of the Makki period, rather before the middle. And let me give you here another point. I told you there are 7 groups of Makki and Madani surahs in the Quran. But actually they can be called to be 6 groups, because in the first group Surah Al-Fatiha is only the Makki surah. Very small, although it's very grand. Ummul Kitab, but when you count it, it's very small surah. And all the surahs are Madanis. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Al-Nisa, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Actually, there are 6 groups, collections of Makki surahs in the Quran. And you can have that by and large. The first 2 group surahs, they were revealed in the last 4 years of the Makki period. The groups between the 2 middle groups, the surahs in those groups were revealed in the middle part of the Makki period. And the surahs in the last 2 groups, that is the last manzil, starting from Surah Al-Kaf, these are the surahs which were revealed in the first 4 years of the Makki period. Makki period was 12 years. In the 13th year after the beginning of Wahi, the Prophet migrated, made hijrah to Medina. So 12 years, you can divide it into three parts, 4 years each. During first 4 years, the surahs from Surah Al-Qaf to Surah Al-Ikhlas, these were the surahs which were revealed in these early 4 periods, beginning. They were the middle surahs, which were the middle period of the Makki part of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the last 4 years, the surahs revealed in those 4 years, they are included in the first two groups. This is actually the group which we are studying in Surah Al-Ankabut. That belongs to the middle group. And it was revealed in the 5th year after the beginning of Wahi. Now Hijrah is to come after 7 years. 7 years before Hijrah. And 5th year after the beginning of the Wahi, this surah was revealed. And at that time, the persecution of the Sahaba had reached its zenith. They were being beaten. Especially the youth, and firstly, the slaves. Because the slaves didn't have any rights. No civil rights. No human rights whatsoever. They were owned by the master. They could kill their slaves at their own will. They were not responsible. Just as if you have a goat, you can sacrifice it at your own free will. Whenever you like, sacrifice the goat. Who can ask you something? Why did you sacrifice? Why did you kill? Why do you sacrifice this goat of yours? In this same way, because the slaves were owned by their masters. They were the owners. They could kill them. They were not responsible. They had not to go to any court. Not to have any punishment whatsoever. So the worst punishment and worst persecution was coming to the slaves, just as Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Abu Faqih radiallahu ta'ala an. There were female slaves also, which were being persecuted like anything. There was another category of Sahaba. They were neither Quraysh nor slaves. They were some foreigners which had settled in Makkah, and it was the rule of the Makkah. This was a small city-state of Makkah, having one tribe only, and that is Quraysh. Only a Qarshi could live there, or a slave of a Qarshi, or some Halif of a Qarshi. If some foreigner came to Makkah, he had to take the refuge and aman of some Qarshi. So those people, they also didn't have any rights. They were at the mercy of those people who, under whose aman they were living. And that is why Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha and her husband, Hazrat Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were both under the aman, under the refuge of the uncle of Abu Jahl who had died. And now Abu Jahl had every authority on them. That is why he could persecute them and torture them like anything. And he killed both of them. Murdered both of them. Brutally murdered. So actually these were the conditions. And then the youth, because the youth, they are, so to say, property of their parents and elders. They can do anything to them. So actually this was the persecution, physical persecution, which had reached zenith in the year 5th after the beginning of Wahi. In those days, some people had some complaints. Why this persecution? Why are we being persecuted? Why is not Allah helping us? Why is not Allah holding the hands of Abu Jahl and all these Utbah Walid ibn Mughira and Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and so on? Why Allah is not holding? He is all powerful. He can hold the hand. And He can save His faithful people who believe in Him from this torture. Then these ayat were revealed. Hastily we shall only translate. Alif Lam Mim. Ahasib al-Nas wa yutraku. Did the people think that they will be left alone? They will be saved. An yakulu amanna. On only saying that we come to believe. Hum wa hum la yuftanoon. And they will not be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We have been testing all people who were before them. Whosoever claimed, I believe in Allah, we tested him through tests and tribulations and persecutions. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And the real purpose of this test is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it clear who is a true mu'min and who is just making a false claim of being a mu'min. They have to be separated from each other, and they can be separated only through these persecutions and tests and tribulations. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-hakim.